Welcome to the Point After Show with Kyle Maurer, Marshall Heslaw, and Ian DeWitt. This is the show where the guys attempt to pick the winners of the weekly NFL games, along with some healthy debate about current topics. Let's go.
Let's go indeed. Let's go deep into our podcast voices and personalities.
Let's do it. Yes.
Yes, let's do it, shall we?
Oh, that's a pun on my name.
I got more puns on my name coming up.
You do?
Yeah.
How many Maurer do you have?
Do it.
Come on, that was off the cuff. That was pretty good.
All right, I'll give you that. That's pretty good.
I literally just thought of that.
That's what off the cuff means.
I know.
Jeez. Is that how it's going to be? I think this is going to be a good pod. I'm going to will this to be a good pod.
You sound like it.
A great.
You sound awful.
Come on. Why are you going to be like that? You're negative. You got two strikes, buddy. You got two strikes before we do this pod without you.
Wait, what was the first strike?
I don't know what the first strike was.
He said something sassy to you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, what's up with that?
I'm sorry.
I don't even know what he said.
I don't either.
Let's just start with our opening question. Hey, Ian.
What's up?
I gave him some knuckles for those of you on the podcast that couldn't see that. Give us our quick rapid fire hot or not questions of the day, Kyle.
This is a dumb game.
Does this mean like hot like they're popular or hot like we like them?
I think hot like we like them.
Yeah, like you're into it. Like I'm into it. Yeah, like, dude, hot or not?
Yeah.
Is this hot or not? Let's start with
spicy meatballs.
Flaming hot Cheetos. Hot or not?
I'm out. They don't go good down and they don't go good out.
Oh.
I'm not a big Cheetos fan in general, but Claire loves Flaming Hot
really?
Cheetos.
Really?
She loves them.
That like is them. The most preposterous
that's
thing.
That's true. Claire is famous for her Flaming Hot Cheetos.
She is. Yes. She uses them to her advantage.
Okay, next one. Grape nut in your yogurt.
Don't answer what that is.
Grape nut in your yogurt.
Grape nuts in yogurt.
Okay.
Hot cool. Or not.
Thanks. I thought it was just one nut.
Wait, what are grape nuts?
Grape nuts, you know, like that hard grain type cereal.
My answer is I'm not 95. Next question.
I'm hot for it.
The fact that I didn't even know what grape nuts were should suggest I'm not hot.
We should get sponsored by grape nuts.
Tennis. Ad. Tennis, hot or not.
When Roger Federer plays, hot.
You know, there's something about
when
like
you
watching,
when I play, not.
There's something about a tennis match. First of all, I still don't understand the scoring.
Oh, I love it. No.
Like,
15,
they go
30,
from,
40, love.
Yeah, hate what it. Is up with that? They just go from actual numbers to
I like
love.
It.
I don't get it.
I like it. Well, love is nothing. And then if you tie at 40-40, it's deuce.
I mean,
love is something to me.
What is it good for? Absolutely nothing.
Jeez. Okay. Waking up in the night and seeing that it's 4:26 a.m. Hot or not?
Definitely not. Definitely. I love that you put 4:26. Does this happen last night?
It's happened.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, this is not uncommon. But there's something about waking up at, like, that kind of time. Yeah. And realizing, hey, I got like 3 more hours.
No. Yeah, too much time. That's too much time. That like then the pressure's on to go back to sleep.
But I like.
Or you're gonna screw.
If I wake up at 4:26, and I'm like, oh man, like my internal clock is telling me I've got to wake up before my alarm, which is about to go off, and then I look, and then I'm pleasantly surprised.
Me too. Same.
Alarm goes off at 7 o'clock, and I wake up at 6:50. That's the right time.
I'm hot for this.
I'm hot for it.
Okay, next question. Google Sheets.
Google Sheets, hot or not?
Hot.
So hot.
So hot right now. My life has gotten very much based around Google Sheets lately. So
my Google calendar is absolutely perfection right now in terms of color coordination.
I should show you one of my spreadsheets that I have to actively use. Very color coordinated.
Very excited to see it after the pod. Next one, purple dancing guy emoji. Hot or not?
Hot. I'm into it.
I'm not.
I don't think I've ever sent that. I think you are so hot into this, you found a reason to just put that there.
He was like, shit, I can't put it at 1 or 2. Maybe if I put it at 6, no one will call me out about it.
I think it's cool. I think it just like, it's so
I'm adding
fun.
It to the
it's
league.
Fun.
Our chat
colors?
Title?
No.
Hey, our chat dancing title for our purple. Group chat is adding that by the end of this podcast.
Okay, that's fine. I think it's cool. I think it's kind of like fun and lively and like, I don't care. I just want to have a good time.
Do you normally? I guess I haven't noticed.
I don't care.
I'm going to go back and read our text. Like, how often do you use emojis?
Not that often, honestly.
No, he's not a big emoji.
I'm a big giffer.
Big giffer.
Yeah. I use a
hot
lot
or not.
I use GIFs all the time too.
Hot or not, GIF or GIF?
GIF.
What? That's two options.
Thank you.
It's GIF.
I'm a GIF guy.
I'm gonna slap you across the face.
I'm a GIF guy too.
Yeah.
What? No, you just said you yes just to said GIF.
Hot or not, TikToks?
Not.
No, TikTok is the plague.
TikTok is the closest thing to addiction that I have in my life, and I don't even use it. I don't even have it. But I just get addicted by watching Instagram of the TikToks 2 weeks later.
Because I work with middle school students, I know what this does to
you got
children.
The dances?
Oh, I hate it.
You know the dances?
Well, I've seen several of them.
You know them?
I don't know them.
You know, I will say that the only TikToks I ever see are the ones that Rick sends me that are football related. And I tend to like those.
Yeah.
Well, the thing,
but that's fine.
I think the last place of our pod, of our pick'em, should have to do a TikTok dance.
No. That's fine. But I'm okay with having a friend who's a curator.
I'm not doing it.
My friend is on TikTok. And he will send me the stuff that I like.
I
never have to go on.
How about
free throws? Hot or not?
Hot. Because they're free.
That's why I'm not, because they're not free. If you've watched a lot of NBA playoffs, they're not free.
Shaq.
Yeah.
Disagrees. Shaq loves free throws, I'm pretty sure.
All right,
what he was known for, right?
Telecasters, hot or not?
When RG3's out there, hot.
Are you talking about like the guitar?
Yeah.
Because that's what I'm
saying. Oh, wow. I thought you meant like telecasters, like the people that speak on television.
I just thought those were
nice. Guitars, I'm out on them. Not.
I would say hot because a Telecaster was the first guitar I ever bought for myself.
Was it really?
It was.
Oh, okay.
Privilege.
Interesting choice.
It was $100.
Yeah. Okay, interesting.
That's not privilege.
That's pretty nice. Fun socks, hot or not?
I wear fun socks. I'm wearing fun socks right now.
Ooh, jelly.
I couldn't
Let
even
me see.
They're Christmas related right now because it's all I could wear. But they're Raptors, and they have a little Santa hat on.
It's a Velociraptor with a Santa hat.
It is.
I love that one. That's a good one.
I'm totally hot on fun socks. Fun me socks too. Are the best. Kyle has gifted me a pair of Patrick, his son, and my godson on just a random pair of socks that just is his face, and I wear them very often to school, and people ask me, is that your son? And I'm like, no, even better, it's my godson.
Pretty awesome. Yeah.
Might be the cutest kid I know.
I rely.
Just kidding. He is, not might. Go ahead, Ian.
I rely on multiple holidays to replenish my sock drawer.
Totally.
And they're always fun socks.
I'm not upset about it. If Claire, I unwrap fun socks, I'm happy.
Claire, that's how we're getting old. That's how we know we're getting old.
I know.
And I'm all in. I'm all in on it.
Claire always gets me socks on Valentine's Day.
Speaking hubba hubba.
And then my mom and my dad always give me socks for Christmas. And
that's
so
pretty romantic.
So it is. Yeah. Yes.
Put a sock in it. All right, next one. Tearing
it's very
down.
Hot.
Okay.
Hot or not.
Our biggest news.
Hot or not. Tearing down memorial statues.
I think that's hot. I'm down
Can
for
we
it.
Get to the last one?
Go ahead, Kyle.
Say it.
On to our biggest news, guys.
Circumcision. Hot or not?
All right, biggest news.
Before we move on, can I just say I was surprised at how hotly top, that's a big deal, I guess, to debate. I didn't realize there was actually such a big group of people that hated this.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It's huge.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally, totally.
A lot of people hate a lot of things.
Yeah. I just thought it was interesting. All right, big news. Now that we're done talking about
All right, I'm going to kind of start us off on a little bit of a somber note.
No, not again.
All right, Kyle, go ahead.
You did this last week.
Give us the great news.
No. He means somber because he's just depressed.
No, I'm not depressed. I just felt like it was one of those any given Sundays that kind of just blended together. Not a lot of things stood out to me. A lot of things that I thought previously were reaffirmed this week. The Broncos continue to be the most unwatchable team in NFL history that continues to get the most primetime games I've ever seen.
Wow. It was because
the schedule was set before.
It was.
Yeah.
That's what people, I've heard the complaint.
Obviously,
about,
I get that.
Yeah. I can't believe the Broncos still have primetime. It's because Russell Wilson was over there.
One of the biggest mistakes the NFL made this offseason. I mean, it's on the list of mistakes they made this offseason, but.
Along with Deshaun Watson, but yeah.
They should have put the Lions in primetime instead of the Broncos.
God, no.
Continue. Besides that, Bucs and Brady continue to get a nonsensical roughing the passer call that changes the game. The Jags and Texans get one offensive touchdown in the last 2 minutes of the game. That's when they scored it. So imagine going to that game with your kids to say, guys, we're going to go to our first football game. Jags, Texans. I got great seats. Not a great game. Four field goals, and at the end of the game, The Texans march down that field, score a touchdown. Gosh, I could not imagine.
It's brilliant.
Lions lose to a third-string quarterback.
So much for the number one offense.
Jets beat a third-string quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
After a concussion, the new concussion rule impacts Teddy Bridgewater playing for Miami. The Bills throttle a crappy team. It just kind of felt like the most average Sunday could be. Things that I expected to happen. The Titans ran for a lot of yards and won. It wasn't really something stood out to me, in my opinion.
Can I just, offer a counterpoint?
Go for it.
Because I saw this and I was like, really? Because we joked about something last week that I actually think is no longer joke worthy. The NFC East is the best division in football right
now. Wow. Yes.
Pure, and I'm not saying that's going to last, but I'm saying pure record wise, they are the best division in football. And I wasn't buying in on them. I was all willing to joke about them last week because this is not going to last.
Mm-hmm.
But I picked against every single one of them.
And they bit you in the ass.
They did. Oh my gosh. For some reason, the Giants found a way to beat the Packers and looked competent.
While missing their four best receivers.
Right. And somehow, Daniel Jones, I've always just looked at Daniel Jones as, great value Josh Allen. And he's looked good. Amazing, he looked good.
He really did. Where was this guy?
I have been underrating Dallas because I think Cooper Rush is getting way too much credit. I think the most amount of credit should go to that debt defense.
I don't care which team it is. You lose your star quarterback. You throw in your backup. You don't expect to go win four straight games.
No, you don't.
I don't care which team it is.
Against the defending Super Bowl champs, which, the Rams are kind of having their issues right now, but I still, and then you have the Eagles are 5-0. And every single one of those teams, the Giants, the Commanders, whatever. they're still living in the old NFCs. They didn't get the memo to be good. The Giants, the Cowboys, and the Eagles all beat playoff teams last year.
Those three teams combined have two losses.
And those three teams that they beat were all contenders, or considered. They were considered contenders. One of them won the Super Bowl. So I just, I'm not saying that division's going to be, consistent, but I think it is of note that they are actively good right now.
I just think that the NFC East is going to NFC East, and they're all just going to eat each other alive, like the ACC Coastal. It's just going to be a bunch of teams that have gone 2-2 against each other. I just kind of feel like that's how that division usually tends to work out down the stretch in general. So good for them that they have this great record right now.
They haven't played each other that much yet.
No.
I don't think that the Cowboys, I don't think that we can judge that team based on their record because they are going to have a different quarterback. And contrary to what I've probably said the last year and a half, he's got a lot to live up to right now in terms of what they're saying he needs to be.
He's been a little injury prone.
Yeah, and with that comes weird conversations where franchise quarterbacks are put on the back burner and said, do we bring him back already?
Yeah, actually, you know what? This is going to transition into my news pretty well now.
Go ahead.
Because first off, I just want to say that I'm terrible at picks. I've recognized this about myself. I am not off to a great start, but I at least once every season, I make a call, and I'm like, good on that call.
Let's hear it. Get ready. Give it to us.
This is the one that
we're going to cheer for you while you say it.
I nailed that. Last week, I talked about how Matt Rhule, when was he going to get fired because the Panthers were so bad. And lo and behold, today, he got fired from the Panthers.
Yep.
Soak it in, Ian.
That's pretty bad.
5 weeks into the season is pretty early.
Isn't it a $30 million settlement? Could you imagine getting paid $30 million and not coach the Panthers? That's like heaven.
Do you think he's not getting, he's due a lot of money still.
A lot of money.
I was just reading, it was he's going to earn $800,000 a month for doing nothing.
Wow. What a gig. I need to get
a coach.
I need to become a coach. I didn't realize how much they paid him.
That's almost as much as you make as a podcaster.
It's crazy. What are we doing wrong?
But must be doing something right.
I just kind of wanted to get that out there. But yeah. The real thing I want to talk while we're talking about quarterbacks is I had this thought where I was watching the god-awful game on Thursday of Russell Wilson versus Matt Ryan. Mm. And I remember a time when that would have been a marquee matchup. True. Which is why I think it was a they marketed it as such.
Totally.
Those are two former Super Bowl players.
Yep.
You know, did Russell Wilson ever win the MVP? I guess no. I don't actually know.
No.
I didn't think he did.
He's never gotten a vote either.
Okay. But he did get to the Super Bowl. He won. And he went to back-to-back Super Bowls. And he almost won it two back-to-back.
Very true.
Very close.
So close.
And then obviously Matt Ryan was an MVP winner. And I just was thinking, like, man, those two have really not anything close to what they were just like a couple years ago.
Very true. Even.
And they're playing awful football. And I just kind of...
It makes me wonder how Rodgers is... Or like, because Rodgers was potentially going to go to the Broncos.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm not sure how much of this is on... Like, Matt Ryan, I think, at 37 is definitely starting to show. I think... Marshall was talking about it last year, and I think he's right that he's just not what he used to be. Mm-hmm. And I'm inclined to even agree with Marshall on the fact that you weren't high on Russell Wilson to begin with.
Yeah. Think of Matt Ryan. A funny stat to interrupt you about Matt Ryan.
Oh, go for it.
Matt Ryan and Matt Stafford this year, both 5 touchdowns, both 7 interceptions, both sacked 21 times.
Ugh.
Huh.
Not a good year to be a Matt.
No.
Clearly. Wow, or a Matt Rule. Hey,
oh, ho.
Wow, the trifecta of terrible.
Bingo, bango, bango.
Any other Matts out there we need to be like calling up?
Matt Schaub.
I don't know.
And is he? He's not even playing.
No, but I just want to talk about him. Oh. He's a Matt.
He's a Matt. Okay. Oh. But I feel like there's this, I'll call it what it is, Tom Brady has ruined people's perceptions of like a quarterback.
Yeah.
Because he's playing till he's 45, and he played at an MVP level last year. He didn't win it, but he played at an MVP level last year. I don't think he's playing great now. I think he's like, I think his light's about to burst here. I think he's kind of on, and this is his last year, I would imagine. I can't imagine him going on because he's going to be a free agent.
Right.
So I just feel like we have this perception that quarterbacks can play past their 40s now, and I don't actually know if that's true. Because I was looking, and Brady's obviously, he's 45, and he, you know, he was playing at a really elite high level at 44, and so I think he's kind of an anomaly. But we tend to, I think, as people, as viewers, as fans, and I think even franchises view quarterbacks like Matt Ryan and like Russell Wilson, and to a certain degree, like you look at Ben Roethlisberger, I think he was looked at this way for the tail end of his career. I think Peyton Manning and Drew Brees were, where you look through a rose-tinted glass and you see, oh, but remember how good they were in their prime.
Right.
Like, remember how great they were. And, like, Brees retired at 42, Manning retired at 40, Roethlisberger at 39. And I remember watching all three of those guys retire, and they limped out of the league. I mean, they didn't go out like Manning. Yeah, he won out on a Super Bowl, but he was dragged by his neck to get through there.
With
like,
alleged horse tranquilizer in it.
Right. So he wasn't clear, like he was not playing very good football. Drew Brees, especially the back half of his final season, looked terrible because he was playing with fractured ribs. Ben Roethlisberger spent the last probably 4 or 5 years as a walking bruise.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just constantly being injured and slow and sluggish. And then I look at the current elite quarterbacks, like the quarterbacks that I think without question people would say these are like the best of the best right now in Mahomes, Allen, Lamar, Herbert, Burrow. These are all young guys. They're all super agile. They're quick. And they all do something that I don't see Brady. I never saw Roethlisberger do this. You never saw Manning do this. Where they can scramble and they can beat you with their legs as well as with their arm. And I'm wondering if there's kind of like a QB shift in how the quarterback position is played. Because I think teams are asking a lot more out of a quarterback now than they were in the past in terms of what they're physically capable of doing.
Yeah.
Because you need a guy like Allen, like Lamar, like Mahomes, who can throw the ball and can also be a dual threat with their legs. I mean, when I watch Patrick Mahomes and he's like scrambling for like 40 seconds, it feels like sometimes, and you can't seem to tackle him, and then he just casually gets back up to the line of scrimmage and just flips a shovel pass for a touchdown, and you're like, what the hell, what do you do about that?
Totally.
And I just don't think Brady can't do that.
No, but I do think that if you're going to talk about Roethlisberger, obviously Roethlisberger towards the end of his career, I'm not saying he's a scrambler, but back in the day, I mean, when he came into the league early, he was a guy that could move around in the pocket, that could step up, could take hits, could literally have linemen bounce off of his big belly. Like, he was built. So I agree, not a scrambler, but I think that the rules for the game have changed accordingly to protect quarterbacks. I mean, rules were made after Tom Brady tore his ACL. Rules were changed after Tua was injured. These are the 32 players in the league that the league cannot afford to lose. So the game is literally played differently for them. I know I complained earlier about Tom Brady, but the game is literally played different from him. And it will continue to be, and it probably will create a bit of a, you know, think of how long a player in the NFL plays. It's like 2.5 years. Quarterbacks, that's not the case.
They play a long time.
Yeah, Chase Daniels can be backup quarterback for 14 years and earn $40 million. So,
when do you, as a franchise, when do you hit a point where you look at a quarterback and be like, this is not like... Because I feel like Matt Ryan is at that point where I'm like, well, what
if he's... Yeah, he's at that point, but I also think that that depends on the team that you have around them.
Right.
Like, yeah, the Colts have a pretty good team around him, but like, I would, like, is Michael Pittman going to change your wide receiver core? Is DK Metcalf going to hold up?
They thought they were bringing in Matt Ryan to win a Super Bowl.
I mean, they were, you know, a game away from getting with Carson Wentz, who was god-awful. So if Carson Wentz could get them a play away from playoffs, then who's to think Matt Ryan, who was subjugated to being in Atlanta, where they can't even have a Chick-fil-A open on Sunday for their games in the stadium, that's the guy that they're going to bail out and say, maybe we got a little bit more juice to squeeze out of him. Maybe we can pull a Matthew Stafford.
Yeah. And he was another guy I wrote down as like, how long does he have left? He's got, I think they just extended him a couple more years.
Right.
But he's 34, and he's not playing like he can last longer than that.
Woof, I mean, at the Rams.
I mean, I like Matt, but he's always been injury prone, and eventually that's going to catch. It is catching up to him. He hasn't looked great this year. And Russell Wilson's the same deal. He's 34. They have at least 3 more years. They're locked in with Wilson.
It's a 5-year contract. He will be 40 when his contract is done. When
right.
He's a free agent when he's 40.
Are you as a Bronco right now, are you happy with that?
God, no. God, did you watch that game? I mean, that is just, I think that is a punishment. I think last place should have to watch that Thursday night football game with no commercials. Actually, with commercials.
And I'm guilty of looking at some of these quarterbacks like they were still in their prime. Because I remember for the longest time, Roethlisberger was just like, because I grew up watching him play, and I grew up remembering he was like one of the best.
Yeah, and Drew Brees.
Right, and so for the longest time, I just kind of were like, oh yeah, they're the best, they're the top.
But you were right about Tom Brady. He is the one who, he's ruined quarterbacks for us because he beat Father Time so many times. He's had a Super Bowl career, or he's had a Hall of Fame career, I'm sorry, after everyone wrote him off.
Yeah.
Like in the last 9 years, he's had a Hall of Fame career.
And I was so...
It's crazy. It's crazy to think about.
It is ridiculous.
It would be like Aaron Rodgers, like, stop playing football for 2 years and come back and play 9 more years. Yeah. Like, that's...
And he is another one right now where you're looking at and you're like, what's going on, man?
And also, last year, MVP.
Yeah.
So
His contract is until he's 44. Right. He'll be a free agent at 44.
So, and I don't know. And Rodgers might have... I don't know if Rodgers, because he doesn't have a lot of talent around him right now. I'm not sure if it's Rodgers or if it's a whole situation or maybe something else there. I don't know. But he's certainly not playing at a level where you're like super thrilled that you're going to have him till 44.
Definitely the quarterback position is changing. I think about quarterbacks that were, you know, older, how they would do today. Think of like quarterback touchdown passes like Dan Marino. It's crazy to look at the number that he was throwing up in a league where no one played like that.
True.
It would be like, imagine if years from now, running backs are the thing again. And, you know, Derrick Henry is like putting up 60 rushing touchdowns a game. And we're like, oh my gosh, how do people do that? And then later in their lives, like, everyone's doing that. That would be the equivalent of like what Dan Marino did back in the day in that NFL compared to now. But I do think that the quarterbacks are, it's a different league for them. It is an entirely different position. You can't be touched on the way down. You can't be hit in the leg. If you are, Kenny Pickett's going to punch your defensive lineman and there's going to be a brawl. Or if you get tackled and wrapped up, thrown to the ground like Tom Brady, it's going to be a flag and it's going to change your game. Or you can't get hit too hard up top or pushed down too hard because you can get a concussion like Tua. There is literally no easy way to take a quarterback down in the NFL.
What's interesting is these contract situations, because the price tag for these players just goes up.
It's going up.
It only goes up. And so
as the cap moves up,
like
in general,
there are time frames where your gamble on a player is at its peak. Like, and in my opinion, those are at the very beginning. Like when you first draft a player, you're making a big gamble on them using your draft pick and investing in a player, not knowing if they're pan out and knowing that most players don't. Most do not become stars.
Correct.
And so you're rolling dice on a player, but signing a 35 plus year old to a long contract, like a 5 year
I don't think it's wise.
That's also an enormous gamble where
what would you rather do? Invest in a quarterback that's older like that? Or would you rather have a quarterback who's on the precipice of a contract negotiation where he could get paid? And you're putting a lot of money into other places knowing that.
The ideal window is in between there. Sign the 25-year-old or the 26 or 27-year-old to the 5-year contract or more. Mm-hmm. The Mahomes and the Josh Allen, they got big contracts, and those are great contracts because those players are going to be the face of the franchise for a long time, and they will win a heck of a lot of games for the team.
True.
That's the window to shine. But once you get to that 35 mark, you know, all of these players, they start dropping off just as much as the draft class does. Only they cost way, way, way more money. So it seems I don't understand really why so many teams are eager to pick up old players, knowing they're not going to play till 40.
And that's why I feel like it's Tom Brady's changed the game because they brought him in at he was what 42 or 43 when he went to the Bucks.
42.
Right, and so that completely flipped. And then you had Stafford, who was 33, when he was brought over to the Rams. I mean, and now, like, granted, that's a lot younger, but he was in the league for a long time still.
Yeah.
And he's been hit a lot.
Phillip Rivers was old when he went to the Colts for his last season.
Yeah.
He was, I don't remember how old he was, but he was probably close to 40, late 30s at least. Yeah.
Lamar is going to be an interesting one to watch then because I think
he's kind of in that prime age.
He is.
He's definitely something to keep an eye on.
But he's also one where his, and I've said it before, I think his play style wears and tears a lot quicker than some of these other guys. So, like, he's going to get a contract most likely that's going to be huge, but probably he's going to set a record most likely.
There's a good chance of that.
Kyle, how about your biggest news?
Wow, we're still on news, guys.
Yeah, so speed it up.
Okay.
We got time.
Okay, so both Super Bowl teams last year are in trouble, I think. They're starting 2-3, the Bengals and Rams. They both look extremely unlikely to make a return to the big game at this point. These are the representatives from both conferences. They had great seasons last year. Doesn't look like it's going to go as well this time around. So I'm just informing our listeners in case you're just casually tuning in. Bengals and Rams, they don't look good. One thing that's interesting to me, the Giants, the Jets, the Cows, the Texans, the Seahawks, and the Falcons, especially the Giants and the Jets, in my opinion, especially the Giants, are all trying so hard and not doing a terrible job, I might add, of convincing us that they're not what we thought they were. These are teams that are putting up numbers and winning games that we actually thought that they couldn't. Like, the Texans are here winning a couple games, kind of convincingly against games that against teams that we kind of liked. That's cool. Great for our listener, Colin. I'm happy for you and your Texans team. Lovie Smith seems to be doing a great job coaching. That's great. And I know that New York is happy to have something to cheer about because football in the city of New York has not been good for a while. Buffalo is in the state of New York and they've been good for a while.
Truth.
So there's a handful of these teams that are just, we try to write them off and they're telling us, hey, we're not done here. Yeah. We're a professional football team and we can still compete. And to that point, league parity, we talked a lot about it last year. We probably would, because it's a consistent thing. The NFL is efficient and managed in such a way that parity is pretty consistent. That's how it's going to work. But it's incredible at the start of the season already. We see that they're in the league of 32 teams, six of them at this point, 5 weeks in, have four wins or more. Six teams have one win. There's no winless team so far. And last year, we did have winless teams this far into the season. Farther, actually, quite a bit. And that means that there are 20 teams, the overwhelming majority of the league, is at either 3-2 or 2-3. You know, basically...
Right in the middle.
Right there in the middle. So this is still a league where it's wide open. It's anybody's game. I don't care about these stats of like, oh, if you start 2-3, whatever, your likelihood of this and that. Like, that's the majority of the league at this point. Everybody is kind of fighting for that little edge, just winning games by a point.
Yeah, just know. Because you're 5-0 right now, Eagles, doesn't mean you're going to be, you know, that good. Look at the Cardinals. Just from last year, too.
They started 7-0, I think, I remember
they
right.
They were flying high, and then they crashed
it. The year before, the Steelers started 11-0.
Yep.
Yeah, but we all knew that that was... Yeah. Everyone knew that was not possible. Yeah.
You know, you talked about the Giants and Jets. They have both winning records for the first time since 2015.
That's a while.
It's crazy to think.
Jeez.
I wonder what that's like. To have a winning record since 2015.
Oh, geez. Okay. Let's get to our takes from our listeners. That's all I've got to say.
Definitely. First take comes from Zach Marcy. Taysom Hill is a Hall of Fame utility man.
That is so hot. I love it.
I like the phrasing utility man.
They do use him in a way where that's a good way to describe it,
though. I was caught off guard by this. I thought it was Sean Payton who was the one who was keeping this guy around. Involving and forcing him into the offense awkwardly. I thought once Sean Payton's gone, Taysom Hill's highly lucrative career
is done.
Was done.
Yeah, Taysom Hill, more rushing touchdowns this season than Eckler, Cook, Barkley, Lamar, and Kyler or McCaffrey. He's only had 21 carries.
At what point, though?
There's nobody. I can't think of anybody in history if he was paid per snap, gets paid more. Than Taysom Hill.
He gets paid a lot because
he doesn't do all the stats. He just comes in for a few plays a game
and scores touchdowns
and makes a ton of money doing it.
I mean, but wouldn't you love to just, if you could pay a dude to come in and you know he's like, this guy's like probably a good guarantee I'm going to get a touchdown if I just put him out there.
That's right? It's crazy that 9 carries, 112 yards, 3 rushing touchdowns, and 1 passing touchdown yesterday.
That's a great game.
That's nuts to think about. Yeah.
I didn't see this coming.
He is the utility man. You know, we always think of like baseball as like the utility player who can play center field, second base, shortstop, and catcher.
Right.
That's Brandon Inge. but besides that, it's hard to think about that in the NFL. So I don't have another person that I could even remotely put at that position. So Zach, you get the W on that one. Good job. Yeah. Our next question comes from Tim DeWitt, the Tim DeWitt presidential. Tim DeWitt. Lions quit out there.
You keep saying president, and nobody knows who what he's president.
He's
not an elected official.
No, he's not.
Well, he was employed to be the president of Lumen Christi.
I think he's a president. You're my president. You got my vote, Tim. And he says, Lions quit out there. How can other teams get their players to compete, but the Lions coaching staff cannot?
Because of the Lions. Sad. I know. There's always this weird thing where I watch Michigan football on Saturday, and I'm like, wow, this is a team that's fairly competent. And even in big games, I feel at least I can trust that I'm not going to get totally heartbroken and that they're well coached. But then I watched the Lions, and this has been the case for my entire life, where I watch the Lions and I'm never convinced that they're a guarantee, ever. And there's a thing, even with like how much I like MCDC, he is not currently able to translate that to his players in a way where they actually play at like a high level. You're the number one scoring offense, which I think everyone knew was going to be a fluke anyways. It was just kind of like a fun thing to kind of about. But even still, you can't score a single point in a game the following week after everyone wouldn't shut up about your offense. That's bad. Now, some of that was themselves shooting themselves in the foot, but some of it was
the Patricia revenge game.
Maybe. But I hate the fact that there's always a revenge game against the Lions. Why do we need to get revenge on a shit team?
That's true. We're going to follow up on Tim's question with Dan Brooks' question. Will Dan Campbell last the season?
Yeah, most likely. They'll let him play out. But, I don't know. I think he'll last the season at the very least. I think there's too much love for his personality. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if the Lions could actually argue a case for him if it ends as bad as it looks.
Final question from Presidential Tim DeWitt. Super Bowl jinx on the LA Rams?
Appears to be.
Yeah.
They are not good right now.
Nope.
The Denver Broncos, the team that we audibly are just like, this is awful that we have to
watch
that football.
That's them.
And then the Carolina Panthers, another team we basically just said, we're done talking about you. Their offense has been more effective than the Rams.
How does
this make sense?
It's crazy. The Panthers have scored 13 more points than the Rams thus far this season.
Listener, I know you're sitting there with your earphones listening to us and scratching your head and thinking that can't be right. It doesn't make sense. How could the Rams, who won the Super Bowl last year with this great quarterback and the Triple Crown winning Cooper Kupp and all their weapons and Sean McVay coaching them with his offensive genius mind.
Totally.
How could they be one of the most ineffective offenses through 5 weeks of football in the league? I don't know is our answer. We are scratching our heads too.
We're stuck.
They should be more effective.
I have two amazing stats about the Panthers that I meant to say when you gave us the Matt Rule. They need to be in this podcast.
We'll wait to cancel them until after your stats.
The Panthers have now lost 25 games in a row when their opponent scores more than 17 points.
We talked about that last week.
Under Matt Rule, 1-27. Okay, so I just need to be reaffirmed. And now this is the one that gets me. Okay. Justin Fields, you know, we joked about how he's had like 7 completed passes all year. Passing. Justin Fields, it's obviously that was an over-exaggeration. Justin Fields, quarterback for the Chicago Bears, is completing 56% of his passes, averaging the lowest passing yards in the NFL and has more interceptions than touchdowns. Baker Mayfield somehow has a lower QBR rating than him.
It's so bad.
That's crazy. It's crazy to think about.
And that offense is better than the Rams. Which is just,
I'm
what?
Speechless. It makes no sense.
I don't get it.
All in. Next question, Addison DeWitt. This is a DeWitt family household in here.
Hey, man. You guys wanted more hot takes.
Hey, and you know what, Ian? I'm challenging you. Now it needs to come out of the family. Can Miami not concuss one of their quarterbacks? Addison, I have the answer. No, they cannot. Next question. No, anything else you guys want to add to that?
Super serious conversation. I mean, just gonna brush right
over. I wouldn't suit up to be a quarterback for the Dolphins right now. There's something.
I feel, they're kind of reaping their own rewards on that one, I guess. The whole new protocols are because of themselves anyways. Mm-hmm. So now they're just kind of getting what they get.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Kyle, give us our next hot take from a friend of yours.
This comes from Ryan Berger.
De Berger.
Ryan says, my hot take for your pod, it was going to be that the Bills should consider trading for Saquon Barkley as a rent-a-player for the year. None of their current backs have really seized the spot, and that team looks like the class of the NFL. If defenses are going to start running the two-high shell more and more, having the legs of Allen and Barkley could punish them for sitting back. That said, I think the Giants being 4-1 with a shot at the division probably either completely rules it out or raises the draft capital cost to a level beyond what you're willing to give up for a running back about to enter free agency. That comes again from Ryan Berger out of Kansas City.
He basically answered his own thought process.
Yeah, and I think Saquon's price is way too high after these first four or five games. Like
his price is going up.
The price yesterday ain't the same price as today. The price
would have been high anyways because he was literally like the shining beacon of the Giants anyways.
Hey, maybe this franchise could also F them picks and go all in.
I'd love to see it.
We've seen it happen. We've seen it work.
Tom Brady's going to be a free agent, you know.
Wow.
Can you imagine for a second?
Him owning the Dolphins?
No. Oh, wait. Can you imagine the team that was his bane in the Super Bowl? Can you imagine him wearing those colors?
Be pretty crazy.
I don't think he could physically do it without like dying inside.
Next two questions come from Colleen Anitor. Is it just me, or does the NFL have an unusual amount of upsets this year?
They did last year too.
An unusual amount of upsets? I don't know.
I think she's talking about the Texans winning yesterday.
Oh,
our Texans correspondent, of course.
Yes.
To which she has said, "You know, I'm a fan of other teams," and I said.
Well,
speak no more.
The Texans have won two games, so there's been at least two upsets so far this season.
Correct.
Oh!
Final question from
Colleen.
We
are upset that they won.
There's been a few. But I don't know if it's been an abnormal amount. This is what the beauty of the NFL is. The surprises.
True.
The Jets put up 40 on Miami out of nowhere. What the heck happened there?
Zach Wilson.
It's crazy. It's crazy to think. All right. Final question from Colleen is, who is your favorite saint and why? Give us your real answer, Ian.
Jameis Winston.
Shit. I was going to say Marcus Colston. After you guys said St. Michael the Archangel.
I was going to say St. Thomas Aquinas.
I actually have a real answer to this, which is
go ahead.
St. Therese of Lisieux.
Oh. Okay.
St. Patrick, shout out to the godson Patrick. Our weekly segment this week.
I don't know. Alvin Kamara was always really great, but maybe Michael Thomas.
Yeah, Michael Thomas is he's up there. Maybe Joey Porter. Joey Porter was pretty cool when he played for the Saints a little bit.
Wow.
Surface pressure. That's our weekly segment this week. It's about who across the league is currently under the most suffocating pressure to succeed. All right. Now, try to pick one, but if you conclude your runner-up briefly, that's acceptable as well. Okay, bye. Kyle, you're up, go.
Yes, it's a nod to what I think was the best song from the Bruno soundtrack.
The Bruno. I like how you quote the fact that you use the most famous song as the name of the soundtrack without saying the actual movie.
Wow, that was totally not intentional.
I think.
Amazing, Kyle. Okay, give us your surface pressure picks this week, Kyle. Or this so far this year?
Let's see. I'm going with Baker Mayfield as being under the most pressure. He's playing like currently, as we just talked about, like he wants to fade into oblivion. He's on a one-year deal. Terrible team. About to get a new coach. Maybe a glimmer of hope or some motivation to like turn it on right now. If ever there was a time to show up and play, it is now. This is your last chance, or he will be doomed to the life of a backup quarterback. I equate him to being the next Mitchell Trubisky, who is a player good enough that a handful of the down-on-their-luck teams will look at him, and for us in the media to look back on what could have been, but ultimately a career with no meaningful success, ending in the saddest way possible. Riding the bench, getting worse every year, ultimately being totally forgotten about. Like Joe Flacco.
Yeah, but Joe Flacco's got a Super Bowl ring.
I know, he does.
And he was elite for like 16 months.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Maybe it's a bad equation. I'm trying to think of like those players who are just like, oh, they're still here. And that could be because he's still a young guy. This is kind of like early for him to be fading away. He shouldn't be doing this. This is wrong. But he's got his last shot right now to save his career.
On a contract year, he really does need to be playing a lot better if he wants to see it.
A heck of a lot better, or he's doomed. It's over. You won't get more chances after this.
He's going to be a backup next year if he keeps playing this way.
My runner-up is Lamar. I am begging you, Lamar, please do not get hurt this year. We know from experience, we saw, not to equate the two players as being in the same tier, but badly timed injury to Garoppolo last year totally wrecked his chances of finding a new starting role, a contract with another team. He couldn't do it because of a badly timed injury. You don't want to get hurt at the wrong time. So that's got to play well.
Get hurt at the right time.
Currently, though, that is playing in Garoppolo's favor.
That could not have been foreseen.
Truth. But Lamar, he also had Justin Tucker to bail him out yesterday, though, because he did not play very good.
He had a fine game.
Fine game. He threw some really god-awful passes. He missed at least two gimme touchdowns because he overthrew them. That's always been my complaint about him. That's all I'm going to say. Justin Tucker bailed them out. They would not have won that game without Justin Tucker, not Lamar.
They would not have won the game without Lamar. He did not lose them the game. He put the team on his back and put together great
drives.
Justin
Tucker was the only reason that team walked away with that W.
In him and Lamar throwing to Mark Andrews to get the touchdowns.
First of all, do you want to know why I'm giving more credit to Justin Tucker? Because that last field goal kick was so good that you could narrow that field goal post to less than a yard wide, and it still would have gone right down the center.
And because the Lions haven't had a good kicker all year. That's why I'm so impressed by it.
No, that's got nothing to do with what I'm actually talking about. What I'm actually talking about is Justin Tucker bailed them out of that game that Lamar almost lost for him because he was not throwing very good. And that's all I'm going to say.
I'll stand by the fact that you don't win and lose a game by one play, and I don't think that they won a game.
It was more than one play. It was way more than one play.
He had some great plays. He had some great play. And
you just said
end,
that
he put together
one. You just said the one play. You just said the one play won it, and now you're saying that's not
two.
It.
He had two really good kicks. Okay, but my point is, a couple weeks ago, you were talking about how Miami got lucky on a few plays. Yell. No, stop.
Yes.
And this is what I'm talking about, though. Like, there is a few plays here that he was bad on, and then now you only want to use the handful of plays where he had some really good moments. But you want to ignore the fact that he threw some ducks that were awful, that almost cost his team the win. So I'm just saying, he's got to play better. Because that was not pretty.
Okay.
Right. I'm not going to change your mind on anything related to Lamar, so why even talk about it anymore? Ian, give us your picks.
No, I'll go after you.
Okay, awesome. The Eagles. The Eagles obviously are in the most win-now mode of anybody. From a team that's put all their eggs in the basket of Jalen Hurts, they've invested in skill position offensive line so that they can, quote-unquote, accurately evaluate the quarterback position long-term, see if they want to fork over the money to Jalen Hurts. And in the division that we all claimed in preseason was on the downfall, up for grabs, the Eagles are obviously still in first place in what we just acclaimed as the best record of all divisions in football. Eagles are the most in win-now mode of anybody in the NFL.
I'll go Russell Wilson and the Broncos as my first pick here because the Broncos literally traded the farm to bring this guy in hopes of getting them back into contention, to being back in the conversation. And instead, what we're left with is probably one of the most god-awful teams we are forced to watch in primetime. And it's just Russell Wilson's weird. I watch him, and he feels like I'm watching a guy who thinks he's starring in his own movie. I didn't actually realize this, but I saw a video of him do this. In that Seahawks game, the first game, He goes out in the middle of the field and outstretches his arms and then turns around. And he's just kind of like this, like, weird, like, oh, look at me. I'm back at my home stadium where all my old friends are. And this is like a new chapter. And then he gets this dumb press conference after they lose this dumb game to the Colts. Broncos country, let's ride. And it's just like, what is this? Like, wow. Go away. Go away. You don't get to be the main character of your own movie anymore until you actually play well. You and Hackett can go and cry in a corner because I just don't think they're very good. And then I'm also putting Kyler Kingsbury in here. And yes, that is Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury together because I think combined they form one person right now. Kingsbury probably is in more trouble than Kyler is. I think Kyler just got paid. They're not going to do anything with him.
Kingsbury got extended too, to be fair.
Did he really? I guess yeah, I didn't realize that.
In the offseason, yeah, they paid him a lot.
I still think a coach gets fired way quicker than the quarterbacks get traded.
No, I agree with you.
I think Cliff is in trouble. I mean, they're 2-3. You know, it's not the sky's not falling right now, but there's a notorious trend that is following Kingsbury where they are not able to finish a season. They start off hot and then they kind of get cold until they're too cold and then they die. And it would be unfortunate for the Cardinals, who have a lot of talent over there, to not even get going. I mean, they're in a tough division as it is. The last thing they need to start off is 2-3 because it's not going to get any easier for them. So good luck. You're going to need it.
I'm with you on that. There's a lot of pressure on that organization to do a little bit better after expectations were set high. There was a lot of off-season stuff. Yeah, they need to do better. I'm not so high on Kingsbury. I definitely think when it comes to that organization, the head coach is inarguably more replaceable than their quarterback. And this, the more time passes, the more evidence we see. I'm starting to wonder if Cliff is not like actually a detriment. Like if maybe Kyler would be better off under a different coach. Let's say you put them together and make one person. I feel like you maybe get less than their true potential when you combine them. Yeah. That's the sense that I'm kind of getting.
Which is weird because Cliff brought him in.
I know. It is a little strange. I don't know what to make of it, but I don't like it.
Sorry, I had myself muted. Cliff is one of those weird coaches that like had a losing record in college, but somehow was the sexy offensive coordinator that became a coach that became an NFL coach. And I think that's starting to catch up to him in terms of, was he really the most qualified candidate to get this big job and reset, you know, who was that quarterback they had before Kyler Murray? Josh
Rosen?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, before they got rid of him.
Where is Josh Rosen right now?
No. He strikes me as somebody that'd be working on a farm somewhere.
I'm literally Googling it right now.
Good. While you Google that, Kyle, do you have any trivia this week?
No, I don't.
That's fine. We're going to move on to your fantasy update, which I don't have a sounder for, and we're going to skip the sounder for this week.
Oh, shoot. I'm really sorry, Adam. Okay. I am now 3-2. I've got a winning record. I've been on a 3-game winning streak. I'm very proud of myself. Notched up another W this weekend on the back of Derrick Henry and Kyler. And
actually, I have a little something for you, Adam.
Fantasy football league update.
It's very weird sounding, by the way, and as you turn it up, the reverb is just amazingly insane. So, yeah. Sorry, Kyle, you were saying?
I was saying I notched up 3 W's in a row to give myself a winning record, 3-2. I'm competing in this league, trying to win some money.
Let's go.
How much money some is that for grabs money in this?
Well,
probably enough to get a steak.
A few hundred dollars. Wow. It was a $50 buy-in for the league, wow. And there's, I don't remember how many, 14 dudes in it?
Ooh, that's maybe substantial.
Yeah, there's a big pot. I don't think I'm going to win. There's a couple of guys who have, like, ridiculous teams.
Are they giving it, like, a ranking, like, you'll get?
There is. Yeah, I think, like, the top three get some money. We'll see. And I renamed my team to Kyler Mowry.
Okay, now I like that.
Absolutely amazing.
I like that.
Because
what was your team name before?
My name. I didn't actually have one. It was just
yeah, that's why. I remember giving you crap.
Our team or House Mauer or something.
I'm a lot more impressed with that name.
Yes, because Kyler's my starting quarterback, and my name, Kyle Mauer.
It's very close.
Kyler Mowry. Yes.
It's very close to his name, yes.
Yes, so now you get it. But just for the listeners. <yeah.
laughs> It took me a while to get there.
Yeah.
By the way, Josh Rosen. I was proud of myself. Practice squad of the Cleveland Browns. So, you know.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Tell us about picks.
That's just like a needed to get it in there.
I always respect those moments for sure. Our must-watch game of the week is?
There's two that I couldn't decide which one was better. I think the Buffalo versus Kansas City is becoming like very quickly like the staple premier match in football. I feel like we've watched this matchup every year, at least twice a year, and it's always good. It is always a good game. Last year, this is like the playoff rematch that you have.
One of the greatest games of all time.
Oh, hands down. And it's easily the two best quarterbacks, I think, in football right now going up against each other. Yeah. I think these are the two best teams in football. And it's always a shame that they're on the same AFC side. Because I always look at that game in the playoffs, and I'm like, that's the Super Bowl to me every time.
Yeah. You know, I just was talking to Jamie, my younger brother, Jamie Eslaw, and he's kind of our Chiefs person out there. And he said that, you know, he is very surprised that the Chiefs are underdogs. Chiefs are 2.5-point underdogs. Loves that. Could be a trap game after the Bills blew out Pitt. But he does say that the Chiefs' defensive backs just might not be good enough to hang with the Bills.
Yeah, we're going to see, because the Chiefs are currently losing to the Raiders.
Ooh, watch out. Yep.
So, actually, today we're going to go with upsets first. So, my upset pick of the week, because we're talking about that, I have Kansas City over Buffalo. I think the 2.5 points is a lot. I think this game is going to be closer than people think, and I think Mahomes is going to Mahomes. Ian, who do you got?
I tend to, when it comes to upsets, I try to find the worst game and just pick whichever team is slightly better in that. Well, I actually pick the shittier of the two teams because they're my upsets. So the worst, if there was a game that I would recommend you not to watch, like we have the must watch. This is the don't even turn the TV on if this is the only game. Washington playing Chicago Bears.
They're the closest spread of all spreads next week, which is a 1-point favorite for the
Bears.
Which
is why I'm taking the Commanders.
I respect it.
Because you know what? When you got two crap teams going up against each other, it's just gonna be bad football.
Yep, you're right. Kyle, how about yourself?
Wait, did you do yours already?
Yep. Yes, Kansas City over Buffalo.
That's a lot of pressure.
Okay, so this is my lock or my upset?
You're upset.
You're upset. Glad you're paying attention.
I know. I just hadn't made my picks yet, so I was trying to
squeeze
them in.
I was really watching you fill it out.
I think the Vikings will beat the Dolphins. Is that an upset?
I don't think so. I think the Vikings are favorite right now.
Frick. Okay. I don't know.
Yeah, Vikings are 3-point favorites over the Dolphins.
I'm going with the Seahawks. I think they are going to upset the Cardinals.
Wow.
Yeah.
Seahawks, 2.5-point dogs.
I don't hate that, actually.
I think it's going to be interesting. I kind of feel like there's trouble in paradise in Arizona, and this is going to be a moment of reckoning next week where we really take this conversation a little further. Like, no, the problems are real. This isn't just a blip.
And Geno, despite the fact that they lost, he still was putting up points.
They lost.
He had
the Saints.
Two or three amazing throws yesterday.
I don't know what his deal is right
Tyler
now.
Lockett, by the way, Tyler Lockett came out of the womb open for 60 yards.
It's ridiculous.
I don't know how long he's going to be able. You talk about Tom Brady playing. I don't know how long Tyler Lockett is going to get a 60-yard touchdown pass in stride in the end zone. He might die there. I think we should bury him in the field there.
Was it him or was it Golden Tate that got that controversial?
Golden Tate.
Was it Golden Tate?
Yeah, because he had the touchdown. They did the touchdown sign with one ref and then incomplete with the other.
That was the replacement ref.
I feel bad because my opponent in my fantasy contest this week actually had Tyler Lockett on the bench.
Oof.
And they forgot to substitute him in for an injured receiver.
Wow. Sucks to suck. Who is that? Put their name out there.
I'm not gonna call him out. I'm not gonna call him out.
No, that is
let the fire rise.
That's the kind of thing in a fantasy league you need to hold people accountable for.
Yeah.
Because it makes the league less fun when you have disengaged people.
Mm.
I hate it. I always hated playing against a team that was like, you can clearly tell they just didn't even care to look.
They weren't locked in. Speaking of locks, let's lock in our lock-in of the week, the team that we guarantee will win.
Ian,
give us your pick. Lock of the week. Who's going to win?
San Francisco over Atlanta, America's team.
Okay. Wait, what?
You're amazing. By the way, Kyle is absolutely proof that men cannot multitask. He's trying to pick a single game and can't hear you say that Atlanta is America's team.
I'm sorry. It's a hard choice.
My lock of the week is the Rams over the Panthers. I've always been somebody. That's, by the way, also a game you don't want to watch. I'm praying I don't need to watch it. But it's also, I'm going against my normal pick. Like, I've been wrong about the Panthers all year. And in my head, I'm thinking, okay, the Panthers lost their coach. I always bet on a team who loses their coach. Like, because the next week they're going to rally, you know, blah, blah, we got a new coach. Rah! That's basically what NFL players, I feel like, think, unless you're like Chris Long or something. And I have a feeling that the Panthers should beat the Rams based on that. But I'm going against all of my thinking because I'm a dumbass, and I'm picking the Rams.
Okay.
Give us your lock, Kyle.
I think that the Giants are going to get off their high horse right now, and they're going to be knocked out by the Ravens. Baltimore is going to get another win.
That's fair. That's a fair pick.
Well, do we have any last calls for our podcast today, guys?
Nah, man. It's bedtime.
Those of you that listened to the podcast last week, this got cut off at this point. Thank you to the one person that messaged me about that cutoff. We appreciate you listening this far into the podcast. We enjoy this live music that we have not playing right now. We want to thank you for listening to The Point After. Follow us on Twitter at PointAfterNFL. We'll tweet once a month and you'll enjoy the tweet. Other than that, we'd love for you to send this pod to your friends, to your family. Honestly, send it to people you hate. We love listening to every and anybody give us their hot takes. And for now, we can't wait to hear from you next week. Bye!
Later days.